the great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. Oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine.
Take me. our Father everlasting.
Our Father everlasting, the all-created one, God Almighty. Through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name.
Judge and our defender.
Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high.
I believe.
The Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Father, we just honor you this morning with our lips, with our music. We just pray that you would take that and continue to guide us with your spirit as we hear from your word this morning. In your name, amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. We're continuing in the series we've been going through called Stories of the Kingdom, examining different parables that Jesus taught in the Gospels. And this morning, we have a really, really, I think, unique parable because as far as I can tell in looking, it's the only parable that Jesus actually gives an explanation for. Now, why of all the stories he tells would this one be the one that he chooses an explanation? Well, Jesus tells this story to the crowds, and then the explanation he just gives when he's just there with his disciples. And I think that has something to do with it, and we're going to get to that in a moment. But this morning, as we go along, as we go through this passage, as we go through this teaching, the first thing that I want us to really do and to think about is we're going to ask the question, what type of soil am I? Now, that might seem like a weird question. Soil, what is, that's weird. But in this passage, we're going to find that soil is actually a reference to our hearts. So we're gonna do a little bit of self-examination this morning. As we go through the passage, we're going to think through, what type of heart do I have when it comes to the gospel? Am I open? Am I closed? Do I sometimes receive it joyfully, but then struggle? Where am I at in this season of my life? We're going to examine our own hearts. And then we're going to see that this parable not only serves as a way of examining our own hearts and how receptive it is to the Word of God and to the gospel, but it also serves as both as a challenge and encouragement to us in another way. And if none of that piques your interest, you can listen simply for the fact that you are very curious why in the world there are tables with bowls on them with something in it. And we'll get to that too. All right, so as we jump in this morning, we will be in Matthew chapter 13, and so feel free to turn to that in your Bible. If you don't have a hard copy Bible and you would love one, please talk to one of the ushers or check in at the kiosk. We would love to get you a Bible. You can also follow along on your phone or on the screen behind me here. And so let's read together. Matthew chapter 13, and this is the story that Jesus begins to tell. He says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Now, sowing is just another way of talking about scatter. They used to scatter their seed all around, and that's how they used to plant seed. It wasn't with sophisticated farm machinery that we have now. It would just be going and scattering seed all along the area that they wanted to plant their crop. All right, so as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it. So Jesus is telling a story using a farming reference of someone scattering seed. And he says, the first seed we see fell along the path. Now, this picture behind me is a picture from when I was in Myanmar. And on both sides of me are rice fields. But you'll notice down the middle where you'll see Dave Sinclair Peters, who will be here in a couple weeks, and Greg, who was just here last week, and some of our Burmese associates, you'll see on the path that they're walking on there, you see on the path, does it look very green there? You can say no. No, it's looking pretty dead, right? Because paths, and if you go through a path in the forest, anywhere where you go down a nice beaten path, there's nothing that really grows there, is there? Because the soil is hard, it's packed, there's constantly people or animals walking on it, and it doesn't grow things very well. Jesus, when he gives the explanation of this part of the story, he says this. He says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. Now, I think what Jesus is getting at here is that the path represents people whose hearts are hardened to the gospel. Now, there's a number of reasons why our hearts might be hard when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to the message of Jesus. Maybe we've had really poor, negative experiences with the church, and so now we're hardened. We don't want to hear anything about that message. Those people are just hypocrites anyways. We're not interested. Maybe there's something in our life that we know isn't right, but we just want to hold on to it, so we don't want to hear that message. We're not interested. We don't want that. The path represents people whose hearts are hardened, and it could be for various different reasons, but paths are hard. And so the condition of our heart that it represents is a hardness. But I want to give you a little bit of encouragement, because this is kind of a discouraging part. People have hard hearts, nothing can grow in them. That's not very positive. That sounds pretty grim and pretty bleak. But I want to tell you a story that I hope will encourage you along this lines. When I was a teen, probably about, 17, one of my youth leaders that I had, her mom, even though she was in ministry, her mom was really, really hardened towards the gospel. She didn't want to hear it. She didn't want to hear people tell her about Jesus and about what he had done. Just didn't want it. So for 20 years, she prayed for her mom. 20 years. And would share with her when she had opportunity. 20 years. One day she gets a phone call. Guess what? Her mom had accepted Christ. So I want to say this. Even hard soil can be tilled. Even hard soil can be tilled. I grew up on a farm. I don't know how many of you knew that. But hard soil, you can plow it and it can be made to be workable and you can plant in it. No one is beyond the reach of God's saving power. Jesus continues the story and he says, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Now, before I moved to Prince George, I lived on the island, and we used to go every June to a place called Nootka Island. And Nootka Island had these beautiful rocky cliffs. But if you would go there during a season when it had been hot for a while, the grass looked like the grass behind me on this shore, yellow and dead. Why? Because on these cliffs, there were just rocks with a very, very, very thin layer of soil. And so when it was rainy, it would be green and it would look beautiful. But as the sun began to beat on it, it didn't take long for that soil to dry out and for the grass then to turn yellow because it couldn't make any deep roots and the soil couldn't retain water very well because it was so shallow. Jesus says in this story, that the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they fall away quickly. Rocky ground represents someone who is open to the gospel, but isn't deeply rooted enough in their faith to stand and persevere when trouble comes in life. If we are going to be people who continue to grow and mature in our faith, then we need to be deeply rooted and connected to God. Don't underestimate the power of being deeply connected and rooted to God. Sometimes in our society, we have a very individualistic society, and sometimes we are very, very tempted to go it alone, to do our own thing. And there are so many things in life that are difficult. We're all going to face difficult times in life. And if we don't have that depth, if we don't have that deep connection to Jesus, if we're not regularly spending time in His Word, if we're not regularly connecting to Him through prayer, if we're not learning and growing in a community of faith together, we're not going to be deeply rooted. And when we face difficult times, we aren't going to last in our faith. So don't underestimate the power of being deeply connected to God. Jesus continues, though, and He says, "Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants." Now, this is a picture of thorns that grow near the Sea of Galilee where Jesus was telling this story. Here's a little closer look. Don't look too friendly, do they? How would you like to try to pull those out in your garden? Wouldn't be feeling too good. Now, these would grow, and sometimes, even though the soil may have been tilled, the weeds are sitting there in the soil. And as the plants would grow up, these weeds, these thorns would grow up with them and just choke the life out of them. If you were to come look at my garden right now, you would see that the weeds have choked the life out of it as well. Got a little behind on the weeding and it got away from me. And not such a good crop this year. That's what weeds and thorns do. They choke the life out of the good crop. And Jesus's explanation for this is that the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word and make it unfruitful. The thorny ground is someone who allows the things of life to distract them from living out the word of God. Now, we live in a culture where there are so many distractions. There are so many distractions. There are so many ways to entertain ourselves. There are so many ways to fill our time. I mean, we have TV, we have internet, we have cell phones. I mean, we can be connected and be doing stuff non-stop. And it's so easy to chase after the comforts of life, to chase after wealth, as the passage says, and to get distracted from actually investing our lives in following what God's Word says. Or even spending time in God's Word is difficult at times with all the distractions and demands that life has. But Jesus says, those that allow the worries of life and all the other distractions that come along with it, when we go chasing after that stuff with all our might, we get distracted from actually investing in the kingdom of God. But here's the thing about thorns, they can be weeded out. What is distracting you from pursuing Jesus? Is there something in your life that needs to be weeded out because you know that it is choking the life out of your relationship with Jesus? What is that? What does that look like in your life? And then Jesus continues and He says, "Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Here's some good soil. In my home, back on the island, our yard that we inherited was a giant garbage pit, essentially. And we had to haul all these garbage out of it. And then there was like this pit that, like if I went down in it, you'd like just see like my eyes kind of above it. Like that's how deep it was. So we filled it with all this good soil. And that garden just grew. Like, it's like I didn't even have to try. Just like, poof, there would be a garden there and it would be so full of life and there'd be so much growth and we'd have such a good crop. Good soil produces good crops. So Jesus' explanation for this is this. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times that was sown. Now, I want you to notice something here. The good soil is the person that does three things. One, they heard. Two, they understood. But three, it says they produced a crop. So it's not just the person that hears, because you can hear something and not understand it. It's not just the person that understands, because you can hear something, you can understand it, and you can still not practice it. So hearing and understanding aren't good enough. You actually then have to put into practice the teachings of Jesus in order to be fruitful in the kingdom of God. You actually have to put them into practice. All three have to go hand in hand: hearing, understanding, and practicing. But now, with that in mind, and having examined the four different types of soil that Jesus speaks about, I think that there's another message that Jesus is getting across. And I think this message has a lot to do with who he explains it to. He explains it to his disciples, the people who are meant to spread the kingdom. They're the people he explains it to. And here's why. Seed doesn't grow unless it's planted. If I just keep these seeds in my pocket, unless I got a lot of dirt and water in there, it's probably not going to grow. It's just going to sit in my pocket. Jesus gives the explanation that there's all different types of soil, and you don't know. Just like the farmer, when he scattered his seed, he didn't know whether it was going to land always on good soil or the path or in weeds. He didn't know, but he just faithfully scattered the seed because he knew some of it was going to fall on good soil and he was going to get a crop out of it. My challenge to you, if you are here this morning and you would say, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus, I follow Jesus, I believe in him, I've accepted him, I follow Jesus, is this: will you sow the seed of the gospel? Last weekend, we had the Awake Weekend, and the whole point of the Awake Weekend was to equip people with just a basic understanding, making sure that they had a good understanding of the gospel and what exactly the gospel was, the message of Jesus, that God created the world, and that we, in rebellion, chose to disobey, and that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and to rise again, conquering death, so that we could have eternal life that starts the moment that we accept Jesus. And that one day Jesus is going to come back and he's going to make everything good the way it once was. Just having that basic understanding of the gospel and having a basic understanding of your story and what God has done in your own life. And then actually purposefully engaging people in meaningful conversation where you're actually interested in their life and what's going on with them. And then as you start to connect with those people, look for opportunities where you can sow those seeds of the gospel. That's what it was all about. And now we have about 40 people that said, yeah, this has got to be more than a weekend. This has got to be a lifestyle. But we need more than just those 40 people to sow the seed of the gospel here in Prince George. I really, really have this sense that God, through his Spirit, really wants to do something powerful in Prince George this fall and in this season that we're going into. I really think he does. But this isn't going to be accomplished by having pastors that have brilliant strategies or plans and who are just so awesome at evangelizing. Our reach only goes so far. The way that the gospel is going to spread like wildfire in Prince George is if we have more sowers who say, we are willing to sow the seeds of the gospel. And we understand that sometimes it's going to fall on bad soil and we're going to get rejected. And we understand that sometimes people are going to spring up and they need deep roots, so we're going to have to disciple them well. And we understand that sometimes it's going to fall on good soil and this person is going to embrace the kingdom wholeheartedly and say, I'm all in. And so I guess my challenge for you, if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, is simply that. Are you all in? Are you willing to sow the seed of the gospel? And so I have bowls with bean seeds in them. And what I want you to do is, if you are willing to take up the challenge this morning and say, yeah, I will be a person who will sow the seeds of the gospel, I want you to come up. I want you to grab, in a minute here, the worship team's going to come. And I want you to come up, and I just want you to grab a seed or two and just take it home. If you want to plant it and let it grow as a reminder to you, if you want to sit it on your counter so that you see it, you're like, oh yeah, I need to be planting seeds of the gospel in people's lives. Whatever you would be helpful for you to do with this seed as a reminder to you that you are going to be a sower of the seed of the gospel, then come and do that. But I just want to encourage you to come up and take one and just sit and just pray and just ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to sow the seeds of the gospel in people's lives. And if you are here this morning and you're like, I haven't really been open to the gospel, but I'm kind of curious to knowing more about what it is and what this message of Jesus that you're talking about is, I'm going to be up here. I'd love to talk and pray with you. So Joel's going to lead us in worship, and just come up as you feel ready. If you feel, I'm going to do this, I'm going to accept this challenge, then just come up and quietly grab some beans. If you want to spend a little moment in prayer at the front, feel free to do that. But please come as we worship together.
I need you to soften my heart and break me apart. I need you to open my eyes and see that you're shaping my life. And all I am, and I give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. I need you. Soften my heart and break me apart. I need you to pierce through the dark and cleanse every part of me. And all I am, I serve. What you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. 'Cause I may be weak, let's sing it out. 'Cause I may be weak, your spirit's strong in me. trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside.
For all of you is that the power of the gospel would continue to transform your life. And just as we sang, that God would give you faith to trust what he says, and God would give you the faith to plant the seeds of the gospel in people's lives. Be blessed and have a great day.
Have a good week.
Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good. Your love is great. I'm broken inside. I give you my life. Yeah. Give me faith to trust what you say.